It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And got some guests in the studio today, Barbecue Bob. I'm glad to see you're back, toting a little sling there. I'll let you control that dialogue, but I'm glad you're feeling better and you're up and about.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. And thanks for joining us. It is still the smokiest show on the airwaves.
Right.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. We're going to do a little spring show, and we have Shasta and Corey coming in from Old World Olive Company, and they're going to break down some just different ways to spice up your grilling. We talk about it an awful lot here, but I think it's better when Shasta explains than when we explain.
Yeah, exactly. So let me tell you about spicing up your grilling. I made a rookie mistake. Thank goodness it was just my wife and I for the meals.
But I thought you were talking about the shirt you're wearing.
No, that too. Yeah, that's why we're on radio. We're not on TV. I got a multicolored flannel shirt on today.
Pee-wee.
Because it's cold, but I look like an Easter egg, so it's all good. But anyway, was down to the bottom of a seasoning jar, right? And Lisa wanted some ribs.
So you hit it.
So, nope. So I was seasoning up the ribs. It's that Memphis style. It's called pig's ass,
oh, yeah.
Right? And there was only maybe like a quarter inch of it in the bottom. I think, well, it'll be enough. And so I ended up, I did it like I thought, and then there was just a wee bit more down there. So I just threw it on there. I was like, whatever, it's ribs. Well, what had happened is all the salt, which was heavier in that seasoning jar, was all there was in the bottom of the jar. And, you know, I put the love to them 6 hours on the smoker. I picked them up. They bent, but they didn't break. I could just a little tug. They came off the bone. They were perfectly done until you put a bite in your mouth. And then it was horrific. It almost burned your mouth. It was so salty. Couldn't eat them. Threw them away. Threw them right in the trash.
That hurts.
Tried to feed it to the dog. The dog wouldn't even eat it.
That hurts because not only do you have the money involved and the rub money involved, but
right.
It's all that time.
I know.
And then expectation.
Oh, yeah.
And then your wife looks at you like...
You ever done this before?
Yeah.
Yeah, you dumb. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So it was a very humbling experience. But I only mention it because, one, is stupid. But, two, it could happen to anybody because I was down to the last, like, quarter inch in a seasoning container that was commercially made. But the salt is the heaviest thing in the rub. And when you've shaken it for how many ever times you've used it, all the salt was down in the bottom.
Well, you're
man.
The king of segues, and you said stupid, so
right.
That's my segue.
Okay. All right.
I want to tell people why you wear a helmet on a motorcycle.
Yeah, right.
And you can see my overly sized forehead. It was the perfect skid plate for a piece of pavement.
Yep.
And the reason I'm wearing a sling is because my shoulder and my head took the impact of a little mishap, a low speed, thank God.
Yep.
Or you'd be just, it'd be the Randy and Shasta show.
Right.
But,
thank goodness.
But I always wear a helmet. But since I have this enormously oversized cranium, my son's helmet wouldn't fit me.
Mm.
So I have to ride it from Olivia's house up to Nelson's Sports Shop in Greenville. I can take the back roads, go slow. Well, thankfully, I was going slow because I made a mistake, and I dumped it. And I did not expect it at that low speed. And I certainly can remember every revolution I took in the air and the feeling of being slammed down on the road and laying there gasping for breath and the horrid look on my daughter's face.
Well, she was following
you? She saw
you?
It, yes.
Oh.
And that's probably the worst part.
Sure.
Because she was, luckily she's a nursing assistant.
Yeah.
And she took control, but I could see she was horrified.
Cleaned your bedpan?
No, I was a bloody mess.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. Ruined clothing. What wasn't ruined, they cut off me in the ambulance.
Yep. Wow.
Life EMS did a great job. I can't remember both of the technicians' name. But I remember one because it's the same as my son, Jordan.
Yeah.
But these two, they were terrific.
Might I make a inquiry? Is this the same motorcycle that Alex got in an accident in?
Yes, it
Why
is.
Don't we get rid of that one and just get it right out of the family? Because that's two
idea.
Of you, man,
yeah.
that have taken a dump on that
I
thing.
I noticed one thing about this. It's very much like a lot of Japanese bikes, very top-heavy.
Yep.
If you're going to lay down a bike, lay down a Harley, because they've got low CG.
Right, yep.
But these things, yeah, not a fan.
Well,
plus, his back tire was bald.
They
don't stop very well.
Right.
So I was taking it up to get new tires put on it and have it all ready for him. He comes back from the Middle East in the end of May, and I was going to have it all. I was going to go through it and have him do everything.
Sure, yeah, nice.
And now they're going to do even more.
Right, yeah, tune it up a little bit more. But anyway,
yeah.
Well, we're all blessed that you're fine and you're back.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, you know, you're hurting, I can tell, but it'll...
I mean, whether or not it's a blessing
right,
to you.
Right, you can grow with your left arm. I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm ambidextrous. That's a good thing.
Right, yep.
And except there are a few things I noticed I can't do very well with my left hand, and with my right shoulder all banged up.
Yep.
Like, you know... Using the toilet is really a chore.
That could have gone a lot of different directions, but it had to go there, right? Yeah, yeah. Could have been. Geez, I'm having a problem bringing a fork to my mouth because
I
usually eat with my right hand.
I don't
hand.
Think my left
no,
arm
it's
is
the other
as
end.
Long.
It's all went there, right? It all went
reach.
There, right?
Oh, man.
Right. Well, you know what? You grew up in a house of women, so the bidet is good, and you just
yeah,
use it,
you
and
know
everything's
what?
Fine.
There's a story
yeah.
for that, too.
I understand. I understand, but we really don't need to go
okay.
there. Right.
Don't
but
remember
anyway.
Eating corn.
Right, but glad you're back, and you're upright, and you're doing better.
We'll see.
We'll heal up. But you shoot your bow right-handed or left-handed?
Right.
Okay. So then you pull back with your right hand.
Yeah.
And that might be crossbow time for Uncle Bob.
Oh.
You can try mine.
I hope not.
Before you take the plunge. But
that's the perfect segue for talking about Alan Bob's.
Because
we've got some events coming up with them. And
nice.
We don't want to forget our oldest sponsor.
Right.
But that's where you got your crossbow.
It is. Yep. And mine is a 10 point. It's vintage. I've probably had it 8 or 9 years. And boy, has technology changed in those things. And that's why you go to Alan Bob's, because they've got the latest and greatest. And I got a buddy that just got one. It's called a Raven. And mine is probably 2 foot wide at the front. His is like 8 inches or 10 inches. And then it draws down even narrower when you pull it back, and shooting 500 feet a second. Mine's 300. I mean, it's just, you know, technology changes.
He can literally wear it on his wrist under his jacket.
yeah. Right. But it's a crazy machine. But, you know, they're $2,500 too. And I got 800 into mine. So, you know, you get what you pay for.
Well, yours is a lot more now.
Yeah, yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, I priced yours out.
Yeah,
it's up around 15 now.
Yeah,
so don't get rid of it.
No, I won't. I won't. I mean, it works fine for me. I'm only out a few times a year with it, so it works out great. But,
yeah,
you take it down there and get it tuned up.
I did.
That's the magic.
You know, that was what I was going to say. Is when we were deer hunting this year, I took my brother-in-law Paul.
Right.
And he the first time with a crossbow, I got him one from a friend.
Yeah.
I got him a friend to loan him one.
Right.
And he didn't know you had to release it by hand. He pulled the trigger to release it,
ooh.
Dry fired it,
ooh.
And snapped the arms on it. So he just paid my buddy cash on the spot.
Yeah.
And he felt really bad. Well, I took it to Alan Bob's. They called the factory and they said, not a problem. We'll cover it.
Nice.
So there's one reason to have a great dealer like
right.
Alan Bob's in your camp, because they're just so they sell so much product.
Right, right.
And that was really cool. I haven't told him yet.
Yeah, huge selection. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be happy when
the buddy bought you a beer, though. That's good.
He's going to be happy when the bow shows up.
Yeah. So here we are, the grilling guys. It's the spring. We've had some really unseasonably warm weather, and then wham, we get slammed earlier this week with some cold. Back to warm. It's Easter weekend, and what a better thing to do on Easter weekend than talk a little bit about food. So we've got Shasta and Corey from the Old World Olive Company joining us in the next segment. And if you have not used flavored olive oil and balsamics, you've got a great listen coming. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan. 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. We are listening to the Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And live in the studio with us, Bob, we've got one of our oldest sponsors and one of our favorite guests is Corey and Shasta from the Old World Olive Company. Glad you set that up. And what do you want to talk about with them?
Of course. Well, welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Very often, Shasta just shows up when you're out on vacation.
Right.
Now, I used her this weekend, so you can't use her next weekend when I'm on vacation.
Well, unless she's got more to say when we're done.
Right? Okay. What do you think, Corey? Will she? Corey is the quiet one in the background. He just does the bookkeeping and drives her around. And
looks pretty.
Yeah.
He
does all the grilling down there at Old World. But tell our listeners what the concept is behind an oil and vinegar shop.
So the concept is you think of like a tasting room. Think of wine tasting. So you go in to a winery. You're not familiar with what flavors they have. And so you get little samples. It's the same thing in an olive oil and vinegar store. We've got little sample cups for you so you can come in, sample the different flavors that you might be interested in, even pair them together. That's really, I always say that's where the magic happens, and it truly is. So it's just a time for you to come in and be able to explore different flavors and find a way to elevate your cooking.
Yeah.
So when you say flavors, most people I would assume that think that olive oil is olive oil and balsamic vinegar is like a traditional 18-year because that's what most stores have. Are you go down the aisle and there's olive oil. There might be six brands, but it's all just EVO.
Except. Right. I don't know that traditional is 18 year. I think the average balsamic is way less, isn't it?
Usually a 18 year
is
about.
Oh, I thought yours was the only one like that.
You can get a 12, but 18 year, and it depends. It's got to be certified from the consortium. So not all 18 years are the same.
Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Talk. Just like all 18 year olds, not quite
not
the same.
Not the same.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, so let's explore that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's start on the balsamic side, which is tell us what balsamic is, if our listeners don't know, and then how does it get different flavors?
Sure. So balsamic dates all the way back to biblical times, and if you follow balsamic at all, which I'm pretty positive a lot of people probably haven't done that research, but if you, you know, if you date that all the way back.
That's what we have you for.
Right, right. I'm such a scholar. it dates all the way back to biblical times, and it's used for various, back in the day it was used for an elixir, it was used to settle your stomach, indigestion, all sorts of.
Well, grandma even taught us that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it goes way back. So the concept of balsamic is it starts with a little must or a fermentation type process, kind of like the wine process. It's a very similar process that you go through. So you get that must, you get it fermented.
Hold on, time out. When you say a must, is that the same thing that we would start a vinegar with?
Yes.
And is it just basically the same way you make vinegar?
Absolutely. Yep.
Where does it take off from vinegar?
Well, from there, then you add in a little bit of like a red wine vinegar. And so it starts that fermentation process. You close it up in wooden casks, and then you let it sit for a year. After that year, you take it out. You put it into a different flavored barrel, like maybe you used oak the first time. Next time you're going to use a walnut, maybe a cherry after that. And you just switch the different barrel types of wood, and each one of those types of wood is going to give the balsamic its independent flavor.
So then once you use that for a year like that, that barrel's kind of shot, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is. I mean, you're not going to try making balsamic with it again.
Probably not. I mean, I've heard of places that do.
I suppose you could store some in it if you've already got it.
Yeah, you could store some stuff in it.
So this process then, are they all 18 years old? Or?
So what we have, the majority of the dark balsamic vinegars are an 18-year base. The white balsamics are aged, but they're not aged the same as a red. So
is that going to be like a white grape then?
Yes. Yep. It sure is.
Okay.
Yeah, so once that aging process is done for however long you've aged the balsamic, whether it's, you know, 10, 12, or 18 years, you take that out, and what you have left is your true authentic balsamic.
Okay, so just talking vinegar in general, mm-hmm. I mean, most people use like a distilled vinegar for cleaning, apple vinegar for whatever they like, this and that. I use it for my pickles. Mm-hmm. I also like a rice wine vinegar for certain foods. How do you make that choice on a vinegar is it just up to your taste, or are there rules for, you know, these are best used with this? And
right. So we rely on the knowledge of the best producers out there. And so we work with one of the two top producers in Modena, Italy, and they make that decision at the time that they are getting that balsamic vinegar to must and then to ferment and then to take it through that long process.
So drawing a parallel, and I'm going way out on a limb here because I really don't know what I'm talking about, but we take grapes and we ferment them, and at some point there's a sugar added for wine, but there's anything added for balsamic? Or
wine doesn't necessarily always get sugar added.
But they come. So I guess where I'm going is, help me understand, when I get grapes that are pressed and I've got juice, it sounds like,
right.
What takes me down the wine road and what takes me down the vinegar road?
Yeah, what makes it sour?
So what makes it sour is, of course, going to be all that fermentation and the grape itself.
But why wouldn't you get a stronger wine?
Well, you could. I mean, you certainly could, but if you go back to the days of what's been registered through the consortium and what they consider is true balsamic vinegar, there's only really one way to make it.
So if you had some red wine and you put some red wine vinegar in with it and put it in a little fermenter of some sort, in a year, would you have a red wine vinegar?
You're going to have a red wine vinegar at that point. Now,
so it's almost like a starter.
Yeah.
Then I mean, like
yogurt.
Yeah, or something.
It is.
Yeah, because if you're taking wine and putting vinegar in and it transfers it the whole thing to vinegar, then it's almost like a starter yeast or
exactly.
Something.
You got to get that.
I wish I understood that better because I
kind
don't.
Of like the mother when you see apple
sourdough
cider vinegar
or
it's kind
like
of,
the lime in the coconut.
Well, yeah, sort of like that, Bob.
Yeah, probably not.
That's your pain med speaking.
but anyway, so I didn't mean to pin you down on the science,
no.
But I've just never understood how it was made and the difference between, I mean, clearly there's a taste difference between wine and vinegar, but I didn't know where in that process it goes one way or the other.
So,
talk to Brian Lesperance down at Finn Valley sometime, too. He probably's got to handle the wine side of that.
He's a really good parallel to the Selmec is made.
So anyway, so it's made. And then how does it get the flavors in it?
So after that, the essence of whatever flavor we're going for. So, for instance, we have, let's say, a raspberry. So they're using the natural flavor of the raspberry. So they're pulling out the raspberry oils and all those essential flavors of the raspberry. And then it's put into that balsamic that came out of those casks
at some point during the process. I've got my 18-year balsamic sitting in front of me. I impart the fruit juice. And then it becomes whatever.
My mouth is watering.
In your case, raspberry. You have raspberry-flavored balsamic.
Yeah, we do.
You know, your favorite one, my favorite, grapefruit.
I love grapefruit.
So we are nowhere near done this conversation. So we're going to dive into a little more balsamic, then I'm sure we'll get into the flavored olive oils as well. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It's a really good thing we shut the mics off during the breaks. But anyway, we are back, and we were having a discussion about the origin of balsamic vinegar.
You didn't think it could get any better than this,
right,
did you?
Right, exactly.
And, so, you know, in our defense, as silly as that sounds, what he said, I wouldn't know about all this if Randy wouldn't have went into your store in Rockford and come back and told me, hey, this is going to sound crazy, but, and I go, yeah, sorry, man, I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
And
that's, you said, what grilling guy goes in his backyard with a little bottle of vinegar and, and creates, right? Yeah. Everyone should. That's the answer. Right. Yeah. Everyone should. That's the case. So we talked about the origin, but and then you said we just got into talking a little bit about the how to infuse flavors into the balsamics. Let's dive into a little more of that, and then what flavors are out there?
Sure. So where do we want to start? Flavors?
Yeah. I mean, so you just said they get the base of all the flavors
and add juices.
Is an 18-year balsamic. Now, you got some of them that are white and some of them that are red. What's the difference between white and red?
The grape.
Okay, simple.
Yep, very simple.
And the whites aren't necessarily going to be 18-year either.
Correct. So the whites are inherently going to be more tart. They are not aged. They don't go through that process where it creates its own natural sugar like the reds do.
Okay.
So,
yeah, because that 18-year, it's sweet.
It is.
I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Especially if you reduce it or let it reduce. It concentrates those flavors. Yeah.
And it's good to know, too, that all the sugar in the balsamics are naturally occurring. So there isn't any additive to any of the balsamics that we serve. They're all natural. There's nothing extra added. So that sugar that you taste is just true sugar, natural sugar.
Okay. So then what we start with this. Let's set the whites aside because the reds are where the magic is. They just impart so much flavor. So we've got this 18-year. It comes out of a barrel. It's like, here I am. I'm a balsamic. And then to make it even better, you'll put some flavors in it.
Yep.
So are they all citrus? Are they all fruit? Where
good
do we go
question.
There?
So they're not all citrus and fruit. We have some very savory ones as well. We have a thyme balsamic, which is delicious, especially, you know, this time of year you're coming up with Easter and
espresso.
Espresso is one of my personal favorites. We
teriyaki.
Teriyaki. We're rolling out a couple new things, which are going to be out about soon. We have a watermelon rosé, which is a newer flavor that...
You serve that by the glass? Or?
Well, it's funny you should ask.
Is it pink?
It is pink. It's a rose-ish color. But the cool thing about this one is you can use it as a spritzer. You can put it in your cocktails. You can reduce that down.
The watermelon's huge.
I love watermelon. That is one of my favorite fruits.
Like watermelon gummies.
And yes. Yeah. Anything watermelon.
I think
is
I saw some of those recently.
Perfect. Right.
Just a thought.
So then... we're going to talk later in the show about what we do with these, okay? But so I've just heard some really interesting flavors, teriyaki, way off the chart from any fruit, mm-hmm. right? And then you've got watermelon, which is more of a garden fruit than it is a tree or a
right.
berry. Interesting. So,
I have not tried the teriyaki. You gave me a bottle.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
My daughter stole it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Because every time she comes up, she makes me promise to take her down to your shop. And then when I try and pin her down to a date, she goes, no, we have to tomorrow. I'm blah, blah, blah. And then they're leaving. And it's like, well, next time.
And she steals
same thing
your
with
supply.
Sobeys. She wants to go to Sobeys, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to give me some time.
Right.
Right.
But anyway, so then these balsamics, I have with a beautiful relationship with a company called Old World Olive Company, where I'm afforded several balsamics and oils at my house. I tend to use more oil than balsamic, and I'd like to change that. Mm-hmm. So I'm.
Well, time out.
I'm not.
Is that normal?
You know, it depends on the person because I tend to use more balsamic than I do oil.
Oh, because I'm with him. I use three times the oil that I use balsamic.
Okay.
And I think it's because a lack of confidence. I don't know what I'm doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And just so I kind of steer away because
sure.
of that. And oil's oil, man. I'm lubricating something when I put it on the grill every time,
right?
And you know,
even if it's that beer in your hand,
right? You know, and we'll get into the oils in the next segment because I don't want to jump ahead too far. But I want to stick—no pun intended—I want to stick on this balsamic. Tell me some things that you can do with that.
And to go with that, why is it we only use balsamics when we're using oils? I mean, what could you use balsamics for that are non-traditional, that are regularly used? Because I don't do that.
So we were just starting to tap on the watermelon rosé. It makes a great cocktail, guys. It is delicious in a cocktail.
So explain it to me. What's the recipe?
So, you know, I just kind of make this up as I go. I think any person that cooks, any chef just kind of doesn't really have a nailed-down recipe. It's
right.
just kind of a template. So what I do is I'll use a sparkling water. And then I'll throw a little watermelon rosé in there. Sometimes I'll take some fresh watermelon and puree that up so it's got a nice chunky flavor. You could use some sweetener like an agave or a honey if you wanted it to be a little bit sweeter. I like stuff a touch on the tart side. So for me, when I make that combination up and I throw, you know, the watermelon in there, grind all that up,
so you can put
delicious.
Alcohol in or not.
Absolutely. You can make this for your kids in it. You know, balsamic is a natural probiotic. It's naturally good for you. It's good for your digestion. You know, we spoke
gut
earlier.
Health.
Gut health. It truly is.
Man,
so,
do I got a lot of room for healthy.
Left hand.
Yeah, easier on your left hand. You can shake with your left in the shaker. Right, Bob?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got a lot of room for gut health, so we're good. So then what about on let's go. I want to talk about something where you don't even have oil.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to use a balsamic on?
Right.
To just do I? It's in a drink. That's one. Is there meat? Is there vegetables? Where do I go with this? And what flavors do you think are good?
I could even see like what my wife used to do and the girls used to do is they would bake a vanilla cake or something like that and they would drizzle something over it. I could see that espresso.
Yes.
Or on tiramisu or anything
yes.
like that.
The espresso is, in my opinion, one of the most overlooked flavors.
Shocking.
Yes. It is. It tastes, it has a coffee-ish taste, but it's not super strong. So if you're not a huge coffee person,
right.
this one still may not offend you.
And it does not work with salad, I can tell you
it
that.
It does not. You know, I look at espresso as you can use that in a mole sauce. You can use it if you're making ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your next ribs will turn out better. I don't know.
It won't be as salty, I'm going to tell you that.
It won't be as salty. Yeah, they'll be right. a little sweeter. But there are all sorts of uses. My favorite with espresso is to use it as a dessert topper. So you can put it on ice cream. It's delicious on ice cream. If you're trying to watch your weight a little bit, I'll use Greek yogurt. Just get a plain vanilla Greek yogurt, drizzle some espresso on top, throw some raspberries or whatever your fruit of choice is.
So I bet your watermelon would be good on ice cream,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe heavy whipped cream.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can grill fruit with it.
There
grill
you go.
Some peaches.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, there you
There's
go.
There's where we're missing it.
Right, is you can just...
We used to remember that.
Right.
Yeah. Back in the day.
One of us got a head injury. The other one just can't remember anything. So that's how that goes. But anyway, okay. So, wow. Very cool. So what other flavors are there?
Wow. So where do we start? We have Neapolitan herb, which is, if you're a Tuscan herb oil fan, which a lot, that's our best-selling oil. A lot of people love that. This is that sort of flavor in a balsamic. That you can use on just about everything. It is great
on
a
salad.
It's great if you want to marinate steak or chicken or pork.
Well, I'm thinking I just boiled down a bunch of tomatoes that were overripe.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I wanted to – I love homemade tomato sauce. I'm thinking a little bit of that might be really good for that tomato sauce.
Absolutely.
When you're making your own pizza sauce maybe or tomato sauce.
Zip it up a little bit. Yeah you bet. Yeah.
Throw a little basil oil in there with it. There.
Yep. So, well, that's cool. So the Tuscan is the most popular one. What are the next couple?
So Tuscan's an oil.
Oh, excuse me. I thought.
But Neapolitan herb. We got off track. Neapolitan herb is a great one. I would say after that, Sicilian lemon is a very non-offensive. It's a little bit sweet, but yet it's tart. You can use that on just about anything. It's great for seafood. Mm. Sear your scallops in it. Gets a nice little caramely texture on the back of your scallops when you flip them.
Wow.
Good. Gosh, what else do we have, Corey? Strawberry.
Yeah.
Listen, we have another segment to do. Let's hit some oils when
right,
we come
exactly.
back.
Right, exactly. And then we'll talk about putting them together. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Non-stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan. 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys. We are talking with Shasta and Corey from the Old World Olive Company, and we just had a great discussion, hope you caught it, on balsamic vinegars, and that's half the store, right? The other half of the store are olive oils, and I'm going to stop right there and let you tell us what that really is.
And I'll even give you a little sliver on that. It's not even half and half. There's still another 10% of the store that has the greatest olives in the world.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes.
Well, oh, man.
Don't discount the olives.
No,
it's called the
never.
Old World Olive Company.
No, we'll cover those, too, because yes. There's some stuff stuffed
so
in those
hungry.
That are amazing. Oh, can't find them anywhere else but your place either.
Right.
That's the cool part. So let's talk a little bit. No, let's talk a lot about olive oil.
Sure.
Take us back to where that comes from, why yours is different than that you can find on your supermarket store and so
right.
on.
Right. So there's a lot of key differences that people generally don't think to look for. If you're not in the business and you don't follow the olive oil world, there are a lot of different things. And, like balsamic vinegar, olive oil dates all the way back to biblical years. And you'll see that,
this is the perfect Easter show.
Well, it kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Except for my shirt.
Well, I don't know. It's very Easter-ish.
Yeah.
It's there.
Ish.
It's there. So it dates way back. And it's really made a comeback, I would say, within the last 10 to 15, maybe 20 years. And I would like to think that we've played a little bit of hand in maybe helping people just get more familiar with what it is. And I think that the misconception is something that you said when we first got here is, well, all olive oil is olive oil. And that's really the furthest thing from the truth.
Right.
So what makes an
olive... That's why he said it.
That's why he said it.
Teed up. Man, she just hit that one right down the middle.
Lead the horse and she'll drink, right? Yeah. So we encourage people to sample different types of olive oils. Everything like the soil, the weather conditions, what type of tree, how long that tree's been around, that's all going to play a key difference in how an olive oil tastes. So you could have, for instance, an Arbequina, which is a type of olive. You could have an Arbequina tree, and one year we get a chemical profile, which comes out when the chemical profile is what tells us all the good stuff about the olive oil, how it was harvested. Was it hand-picked? Was it ground-picked? Did it?
Is that after it's made into oil?
We find all those things out after the crushing process. We get that analysis, and that's how we can determine what's good and what's not.
And then is that oil coming from the seeds and the olive or just
so
the
there are two different types of ways that you can crush. You can crush an olive with the pit, and that's called agrumado. And that's where you take the, for instance, if you're making a lemon oil, you crush the lemon with the whole olive, and that's considered an agrumado or a stone pressed. Sometimes you'll hear that term too. So...
And then the other way would be with just the flesh of the olive?
With just the flesh of the olive, and just like the balsamic vinegar, then that natural essence is added at the end. And the reason for that is you don't want to alter the profile of that olive oil anyway. You don't want it adulterated. You want it to be pure, just as though it came off the tree, it crushed and went right in the bottle.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So there's two ways. You use lemon as an example. If I heard you correctly, mm-hmm. you'll crush a lemon and a bunch of olives with the pits in them, and that is the term was
agrumado.
Agrumado. But if you do just the olive flesh, mm-hmm. then you make the oil with it, and then at the end you infuse it with maybe lemon essence, juice,
correct.
Whatever it may be.
Yep.
Interesting.
And again, with the olive oils, just like the balsamics, there is no extra added sugar. There is nothing added to the product that makes it unnatural or adulters it from its natural form. So that's something that's really good to know.
So when I first met you, Corey talked about the percentage of EVOs on the market that are actually rancid.
Absolutely. A lot of people miss this part too. So you've got an olive oil on the shelf in a leading retail store, and that's not the same olive oil that you're going to get if you come into one of our stores. And the key difference is that olive oil on the shelf in a store, we don't know what the chemical profile of that olive oil is. We don't know when it's been crushed. We don't know when or how it was harvested. We don't know if the fruit was bad at the time it was crushed and harvested in that bottle that you're getting off a retail shelf. When you come into our stores, we have all that information. Because those olive oils that
had to be graded.
They've had to be graded, and they have to meet a certain standard before we'll even consider bringing them in.
So I suppose those big producers just need a lot of volume, and they can't afford to
Correct.
Be quite as picky.
And there's a difference. So
and you're half the price, so you better...
Right. A good
you can
olive
buy
oil
red wine for $6 a bottle or $600 a bottle.
Right.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
Right.
I don't
right?
want a headache. I
right.
know that.
Exactly.
Right.
But, I mean, it's similar because, it's like everything else. If you're buying a better quality product, it's going to...
Right.
Right. It's going to be awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't mean to derail
that. So then the infusing and then EVOs, do they go in a big cask as well?
So they go in just like the Fusties that we have.
Stainless.
The stainless in the store. These will be huge. They're like the size of a silo almost.
Right.
So I want to step back on something you just said. You used the term EVO, extra virgin olive mm-hmm. oil. What's the significance of virgin versus non-virgin olive oil?
Right. So to be considered an extra virgin olive oil and to be graded and classified as that, it has to be below 0.20.
So it's like the first crush.
Absolutely.
I remember my first crush.
Right.
That's all I probably got to a little say about that.
His head's hurting.
Right, yeah. Second grade teacher.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are, but most everything you see on the shelf is called EVO, or not. In your store, yes, but I mean.
And you'll see it on the grocery store shelf too, and there are really loose regulations in the United States.
Right, because they'll virgin olive oil.
Virgin is
see.
A step below extra virgin. It's been crushed for quantity, not quality.
Right, I see. Okay. So, man, this is really interesting. I hope it's interesting to you as a listener, too, because I've heard this story before, but this is like all new territory.
We dig deeper every time.
We haven't covered this territory before.
It's the magic of Easter, Randy.
But, so, isn't it? Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to actually finish this conversation about oil, the variety of flavors, and then we're going to start putting them together and maybe cover a couple recipes. So this is where the fun part starts. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Now you're
today's man law is a good one for Easter weekend. Very important holiday for Christians all around the world. You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. That's from Les Brown.
Absolutely.
Love it.
So let's talk about a great combination, which is extra virgin olive oil and balsamic vinegars, used in combination to flavor your food. Shasta, you've got a recipe.
I do, and I instantly turned to this one because after Easter, we always have a lot of extra food. It's kind of like Thanksgiving. You're looking for turkey leftover recipes. After Easter, you're looking for ham recipes. And this one is a breakfast recipe that you can make individual little cups, like little ramekins, or you can make it all in a big, a regular sheet pan or a baking dish, rather. But basically, you're just going to use a shallot. You're going to sauté that up. You're going to deglaze the pan with a little champagne vinegar, which we have in our stores. It's nice and it's sweet yet tart, so it gives it a nice balance. After that, you're going to drop in some spinach, some cheese, and then you're going to drop an egg into those little ramekins.
Almost like a muffin ramekin or a muffin tin or however you're making them, sure.
And you're going to bake it. Pull it out, and you've got a great dinner using up your ham. You're getting your probiotics from your champagne vinegar. You're using a little leek oil, which is one we didn't really talk on as a newer flavor.
Again, what's a ramekin?
Ramekin is like a little
baking cup.
Yeah.
You ever had creme brulee?
Yeah.
Comes in a ramekin.
Yeah.
Oh, the cup.
Yeah.
That's the cup.
Oh, we have some.
Yeah, exactly.
I did
ate out of one of those yesterday.
I just called it
a bowl. I just called it a bowl.
My wife and my daughter were arguing about it. That's why I'm not familiar. Maggie had to correct her mother.
Oh, sure. Oh. Well, that's how she
rolls. Ramekin, Mom.
Right. That's how
it goes. It's a little bowl.
Right. But anyway, so that's a great little breakfast thing.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to do. And you could do it in a non. Do you mix the egg up or do you just crack it?
Drop it in.
So it comes out probably not over easy, but just cook.
Yeah, you can cook
it. Kind of like a poached egg.
Yeah. However you'd like to. You know, you can cook it a little longer and make it over hard, or you can cook it a little less. Yeah.
So now that I know what you're doing, tell us again. You're going to put a little bit of that oil in a ramekin?
So you're going to use some leek oil, saute up the shallot, and then you're going to deglaze the pan using some champagne vinegar.
Okay.
And then we're going to put the spinach in. We're going to put the cheese in, and then we're going to drop the egg on top of that ramekin.
How are you going to deglaze it? Explain that.
With the champagne vinegar, that'll naturally deglaze the pan. It's just like using red wine. Well, somewhat.
But the distinction here is that you're cooking the shallots in a frying pan, and when you're deglazing the frying pan and then taking that product and putting it in the ramekins,
you're not cooking in the ramekin. You're deglazing. Yes. Oh, the frying pan. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's with us now.
Yeah, right. Because and the ham is already in there. Then the shallots go in. Then the spinach. Then the egg on top.
That sounds wonderful.
I've done something similar. Not that exact recipe, but it's good.
You can even use a muffin tin.
Right. Yeah. If you don't have ramekins, you can use a muffin tin, or you could use a baking pan, and you could just make a larger amount.
All right.
Do you know the muffin man?
Right. Yeah. Well, Shasta, where are your stores at? Where people want to find them?
Sure. So we have our first store, which was opened in Rockford, Michigan, right across from the Corner Bar. We also have our downtown Monroe Center location, which is right on the corner of Ottawa and Ionia.
In Grand Rapids. Yep.
Where am I? Ottawa and Monroe Center. Monroe Center, right. One in the downtown market, and then one over in Plymouth.
Yep. Nice. So great. Wonderful products. If you've not had an opportunity to get into one of these stores, highly, highly recommend it by the grilling guys that you do so. You're going to find things in there and a super helpful staff. So, Shasta, Corey, thanks for making time, joining the Grilling Guys. We appreciate each of you listening each week, and we will talk with you next week.
Yeah, we hope you have a great Easter weekend and appreciate the blessings you have.
All right. Perfect.